If you need to retake the MCAT, improvement is possible. You don't have to accept the score that you got. You need to work hard, be patient, and work on your foundation. Work on the foundational skills, and you'll notice improvement. If you go check out the MCAT CARS strategy course from Jack Wesson, a lot of his students are MCAT retakers, students who didn't understand the test the first time. Did you know there's a hard way and an easy way to go through these passages and questions? That's what Jack emphasizes in his MCAT CARS strategy course. There's office hours every week with Jack. Through this self-paced, structured course with homework every 2 weeks, you'll see massive improvements in your ability to understand the MCAT, which will hopefully translate into a better score. Go check out the MCAT CARS strategy course over at jackweston.com today. The MCAT CARS podcast, session number 116. The CARS section of the MCAT gives thousands of pre-meds nightmares every night. Whether you're an ESL student, lack confidence while reading, or a slow reader like me, Jack Weston and the medical school headquarters are here to help you score higher in every section so you can be confident you're ready to get the MCAT score of your dreams. Welcome to the MCAT CARS podcast. My name is Dr. Ryan Gray. As always, I'm joined by Jack Weston from jackweston.com. And in this podcast, we take CARS passages, or what could be CARS passages, and break them down to help you understand how to break down your passages and your questions on the MCAT. We go over articles that you can find links to in our show notes, which you can always find at mcatcarspodcast.com/episode number. So today's episode 116 would be mcatcarspodcast.com/116. We recommend that you read the article before we jump into it in the podcast, come to your own conclusions, and then jump back into the podcast and take a listen so that you can understand how you are doing and not just passively listening to this episode. If you are getting great success from listening to this episode, I'd love to hear from you.
Another great episode,
direct message.
Diving into space
on Instagram.
So excited as this episode's coming out.
Medical school.
We just saw Percy land on Mars.
Or you can shoot me a message on Twitter as well.
Amazing photos.
Medical school HQ.
What's there?
The Mars surface looks like.
If you haven't yet gone to check out jackweston.com to check out all the amazing resources.
Anyway, nerding out about space. I hope you got a lot out of our episode today.
Click on practice.
Don't forget check out jackweston.com
for more.
You can also check out a trial session that he has to offer.
CARS.
Hope you have a great week.
We'll
if you're struggling
here
on
the CARS podcast,
take a trial session and see if it may help you in the future. Let's go and jump into our episode today. Jack Weston back for another MCAT CARS podcast episode. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well, Ryan. How are you?
I'm doing excellent. I'm excited to continue to break down these CARS passages with you, continue to soak up the knowledge that you are exuding through these podcast airwaves that hopefully other students are learning from. I love when we get messages from students talking about how they are crushing their CARS section because of this podcast, which is always fun.
Yeah, I mean, I always tell students this podcast is amazing. You know, it's worth everyone's time, especially if you want to improve your reading skills and just having a better understanding of what the author is saying. So it's been really fun doing this for over a year now, right?
Over two years.
You know, it's just so awesome to see how we can touch on things every session that we don't touch on, and you know, ever before. So I'm excited to keep working on this, and hopefully we have a huge library of stuff that students can always come back to.
Yep. Guaranteed to love it or your money back, right? All right. What do we have in store for us today?
I would characterize this article as a good teaching lesson for knowing that definitions can change. Mm. So you may have a prior definition for something going into a passage, and the author could explain a different definition than what you're used to. Mm. But that definition could even change within the passage. So it's very important, like we did a couple weeks ago, to not bring in your own bias, right? You can have a prediction, but be willing to change. And I think this is a great example of how we can apply that to definitions.
Okay. All right. As always, follow along in the show notes. We'll have a link to this article and the text as well. First paragraph. Some planets actually wander the galaxy alone, untethered. All right. So interesting little opening here of what are we going to talk about? Talking about some science, some space, some planets wandering the galaxy alone. It's interesting.
Yeah, the first sentence is the most important. I tell all my students this to make sure you really understand it, because it's establishing the topic, it's establishing kind of the direction we're headed in. And if you're lost at this point, you're probably going to be more lost as you keep reading the paragraph. So excellent interpretation or understanding, right? We're talking about plants, we're talking about the galaxy, they're alone, right? It seems lonely out there.
Yep.
Okay.
They have no days or nights, and they exist in perpetual darkness. Oh, sorry. Got a hacking up a lung over here. All right. So, again, just another kind of interesting visual, right? Untethered planet wandering alone, perpetual darkness, no days, no nights. Very interesting.
Very gloomy. Yeah. Okay. And yeah, it is very interesting. Imagine, you know, we all think of every planet as having daylight, but I guess that's not the case.
Yeah, I guess if you're far enough away from a sun, I suppose, then there's no light. That's a bummer. In a kitschy NASA collection of travel posters for destinations beyond Earth, one of these cold worlds is advertised with the motto, "Visit the planet with no star, where the nightlife never ends." All right, so kind of a cute little poster there, right? A play on the word nightlife that most people think of, like going out to eat and restaurants and bars and stuff like that. The nightlife never ends because there is no sun, there is no daylight.
Yeah, sounds good.
All right, next paragraph. Astronomers call these worlds free-floating or rogue planets. All right, so these are known things. The astronomers have a name for them, so it's not some random thing.
Okay.
They are mysterious objects, and a small group of researchers around the world is dedicated to studying them. All right, so people are obviously interested in these mysterious things, and their people are researching them, studying them. Of the thousands of planets that scientists have detected beyond our solar system so far, only about a dozen are sunless and coasting on their own, somewhere between us and the center of the Milky Way. All right, so not a lot of these, right? There are only about a dozen of them. At least astronomers think they are. All right, so think they are... sunless, coasting on their own, or think they are where they are kind of location-wise? That's a confusing sentence.
Yeah, we got to keep reading, but I like how you're trying to determine which one it is.
Yeah. We are sure that these objects are planets. Prasmek Mraz, an astronomer at Caltech, told me. All right, so given a person here at Caltech, we are sure that these objects are planets, so not a meteor, kind of asteroid, whatever, kind of random rock, right? They are a planet. We are not fully sure whether these objects are free floating or not. All right, there you go. So this astronomer here basically saying these are planets, they're sunless, we know that, but are they free floating? In my mind, I'm interpreting that to be, are they part of a huge orbit that they just haven't figured out yet, or are they just kind of randomly floating around?
Right, like a coasting around, right? Like they said earlier. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So good. And so, by the way, notice the author is not sure, right? We're not sure. So even though this is a science-based passage, even though the author is discussing science, we could debate the science, right? We don't know. I mean, it's hard for students to understand this sometimes, but every piece of science concept you've ever learned was debated.
Yeah.
Right? We had to have experiments to support the hypothesis, that idea.
Yeah.
So it's not out of the usual to predict or guess how these planets come about or how they work, because we're not able to go out there and actually observe them, right? We have to use these big binoculars, or what are they called? You know,
telescopes.
You know, telescopes, right? You know, we use these huge telescopes in Hawaii and other places to kind of look at them, and you know, that's why we're debating this. That's why it's a hypothesis. Okay.
Meraz has spent perhaps as much time thinking about these strange objects as anyone on Earth. All right, so setting up some expertise here for this astronomer.
Right.
He and his team just announced another finding, the smallest known rogue planet today. All right, so expanding on his expertise and him and his team finding it, the smallest planet that they've found.
Right.
Rogue planet.
Rogue. Yeah. So what does that connotate there? Rogue.
Well, rogue meaning kind of going back to these planets. They're sunless and aren't part of an orbit. They're just kind of wandering alone.
Wandering alone. You know, you're doing your own thing. That's usually what we think about when we say the word rogue, right? They've gone rogue, meaning they've abandoned us, right?
Yep.
Okay.
The object is between the masses of Earth and Mars, a blip in interstellar space, so relatively tiny that it might seem insignificant. All right, so just describing this new finding. But according to scientists' best theories about the way planetary systems arise all across the universe, rogue worlds should exist. Interesting. Should or shouldn't? That seems weird. So this seems to be contrary to what I would assume they were trying to say, right? Based on our theories about how planetary systems arise, these rogue worlds shouldn't exist because we know how they kind of are created. But
right. There might be a typo there. We'll have to see.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Interesting. All right. So just setting up this, this kind of understanding of the world and just what it is, right? I don't know. It's weird.
Right. Well, it says it might be insignificant and then it contrasts. So we can assume it is significant, that it does exist. So it's probably not a typo, but
it's
again,
not.
Yeah.
No, I went to the full article. It's not a typo.
Right. Okay.
Interesting. Okay. Next paragraph. The term rogue planet suggests that these objects desert their stars on purpose, striking out on their own to carve a new path through the Milky Way. All right, so just expanding on what this rogue planet means, right? They're out on their own. They're not part of a star. And it's interesting here that the author's setting it up, that they're doing this on purpose.
Okay.
In reality, rogue planets are usually kicked out of their star system, banished to a solitary existence circling the center of the galaxy. They're like, you are not one of us. You are voted off the island. Get out of here. That's funny.
Right. So it's not really that they're abandoning us. It's that we're abandoning it, right? Yeah. So it's not really rogue. Even though the author defines it as being rogue, right? And our normal definition of rogue is, okay, it's someone who's abandoned us. Yeah. It's really just like an excommunication, right? Like they've been excommunicated away from us.
Yep.
So the definition of rogue has changed. So if the MCAT asks, okay, what does the author define as rogue? It's not that someone abandons us. It's that we abandon them, right?
Yeah.
It's been kicked out. So having a better interpretation and understanding of that could mean the difference between getting a question right and wrong.
Yeah. All right. Next paragraph. The beginnings of a planetary system, including our own, are thought to be quite messy. All right. So a little bit of explanation here on how these planetary systems are created. All right. Messy. Not good. As planets swirl into shape out of the cosmic fog surrounding a newborn star, they jostle one around another. All right, so just setting up this visual of how all the planets kind of get into orbit.
Okay.
The gravitational game of pool can shove planets toward the edges of a system and even eject them all together. All right, so that's where they're getting kicked out here.
Exactly. It's explaining it, right? Yep. The whole idea of gravitational pull, the formation of them. Okay.
Nearby stars can scramble planets too. All right. So just the gravitational pull of other objects nearby. Most stars are not born alone, but in clusters of dozens to thousands. And in such a crowded environment, a passing star with its own entourage of planets could whisk away a planet from another, keeping it for itself or casting it out into space. All right, very interesting. Going back a couple weeks, the stars are the influencers and they have their circle of people around them. So the author here basically explaining kind of the birth of these planetary systems, and when there's lots of stars around, they can steal planets, eject them out, and kind of et cetera.
Yeah, sounds good. So what's the main idea? What's the point of this passage?
Oh, the point of the passage is really just a discussion of these rogue planets and how they come to be.
And are we sure? Do we know?
Could be many different things that cause them to get kicked out of orbit.
Right. So if they ask you, what does the author believe, or how does the author believe about rogue planets, like how strongly do they believe about rogue planets? The best answer here would be something that says cautious or not sure, right? Because it's not something that the author is committed to completely, right? The author is just throwing out ideas. And yeah, you can say it's probably siding with the idea that it's based upon messy stuff, right? The formation of these is probably based more on that than anything else. But at the end of the day, it's not completely understood. So you got to remember that, right? It's not completely understood. And there are some MCAT passages, especially in the question packs, CARS question pack volume 1 and 2, that have passages very similar to this, where they'll present potential ideas for why something has happened. But as they're saying it, they're basically admitting that they don't know. Mm-hmm. And it's okay for the author to not know. That could actually be part of the main idea. Right, that we don't know something, right? So that's an opinion, like no one knows something.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, good. And again, as we read, the definition of rogue changed, right? It went from, okay, they're abandoning us, to actually, wait, we're abandoning them. And that's a very different interpretation of that word.
Yeah. All right. So gotta be flexible with these passages and be okay changing kind of the definitions that you're setting in your head as you go to the questions.
Absolutely. I mean, that's what reading is all about, right? Teachers tell you read, read, read. Parents tell you read, read, read. Because when you read, you become more aware of how vast our opinions can be, right? And how they can change so suddenly. So reading is a very good exercise of that.
This is MedEd Media.